Listeners and subscribers, we're asking that you re-listen and share the podcast with others. Don't keep this good news to yourself. Re-listen and see if there is something that you hear that you missed earlier. Share and encourage a friend. We pray that these podcasts have been beneficial to you. So re-listen, listen, and share. Hello, I'm back to share with you more about the Teachable Woman podcast. Please subscribe on teachablewoman.com, our website, and also on YouTube. Yes, we have a YouTube channel. Search for us at The Teachable Woman. We are hoping to monetize our website through subscriptions. So, subscribing online is simple. Simply join the mailing list. You will receive an email powered by PodPage to verify your email address. This is done for safety and security purposes. Once verified, you will receive notifications for every new podcast. If subscribing on YouTube, go to the channel, click the black subscribe button, and it's done. Thanks for listening. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Teachable Woman podcast. I am so excited to be back with you today. I'll just ask you in advance to pardon my voice. I have a bit of a, I don't know if we call it a cold or the crud, whatever it is, but it's here. And I'm just going to ask you to pardon me in advance, but Mrs. Cherry and I are going to work together to do the work of the Lord. We are teachers of good things. And today we're going to cover a topic that I know you've all been waiting for, the topic of relationships. We're going to be talking about all kinds of relationships. And Mrs. Cherry, would you start us off into this wonderful season of relationships?
Well, it's going to be interesting from my perspective, because as women, primarily women, when we hear the word relationship, we start getting all gooey and skin crawling and imagining, oh, they're going to talk about, I'll know how to get him. Well, I think that we need to start with relationships other than the male-female relationship or even the husband-wife relationship. And we need to start with the most important relationship that we have, and that's our relationship with God. Years ago, the first time was in 1988, my husband taught a series, and the title was Relationships. And so I went back today, and I looked back through some of his notes. And an interesting thing that he wrote was that the word relationship is not in the Bible. He could not find it. However, all that we believe, all that we do, all that we serve with the Lord is based on a relationship with him. And so I thought about the fact that when I heard about our next topic being relationships, I said, oh, I know the life givers are going to be so excited because they're thinking about what can I do with this relationship or this prospective relationship and how can I go about establishing a relationship. But I would like to challenge us to establish a true, meaningful relationship with our Father in heaven. And I believe that if we establish that relationship, we might be in a position to pursue another kind of relationship or a male-female relationship. So the most important thing I think that we can do as teachers of good things is to teach the women about a proper relationship with God. Because without a relationship with God, all other relationships will in fact fail. And it's out of relationships that we have that we get expectations. Out of every relationship that we have expectations. And so we don't want you to be set up for failure. We don't want you to have a desire in your heart for something that might not be best for you. So having that in mind, let's talk about our relationship with God and how to establish a good relationship with our Father. He is our Father. We are His children. And I think it's important that the first relationship we talk about should be our relationship with our Father as children of the Most High God. And I'll try to do as much talking as I can today, because I know that you are struggling and I understand that. And it just lets you know that we're just plain old human beings like everybody else. And we can be faced with the same struggles as everybody else. Yes. But because we love you so much, in spite of Reverend Oz's struggles with her voice, we decided we had to do another podcast because it's just been too long since we've been together with you.
That is so true. That is so true. I want to share in line with what you were saying that in Jeremiah chapter 1, God lets us know that the Bible tells us that before he formed Jeremiah in the belly, that he knew him.
Yes.
And that's not just for Jeremiah. That's for all of us. Before God formed every one of us in our mother's belly, he knew us,
yes,
which meant that he had a personal relationship with us, which meant that he had a purpose and a plan. And then he said, before you came out of the womb, that he sanctified him and he ordained him a prophet to all the nations. So before we come out of the womb, there's a purpose and a plan for our lives. God knows exactly who we are and we cannot hide from him. And so establishing, getting back to that first relationship, I 100% agree with what you said. And then after the relationship with God and then being brought into this world, we are entrusted to parents or caretakers or whoever raises us. And I think that's when our ability to have good, trusting relationships, it's either created there or it's damaged there. And so from that point, we see the world through how, and our relationships through how that relationship was. Can I trust people or can I not trust people? Should I spend time with them or are they not worth my time? All of that comes from what we've learned in that household, whether it was the family household or whoever raised us.
That's very true. And so a lot of times our relationships later on in life fail because of what happened to us right from the womb, how we were treated, how we were mistreated, how we were used, how we were abused.
Yes.
And it sets the groundwork for how we make decisions, how we relate one to the other, and all that we do in life. So it is essential that all of us know, regardless of who we were entrusted to once we were birthed into the earth, that relationship with those individuals pale in comparison to the relationship that we had with God, who knew us in our mommy's bellies. And so in spite of who raised us or who we were entrusted to, it's essential that we know what God's plan was for us from the very beginning of each one of our lives. And if we could build our total life on the knowledge that God would want us to have of him and what his expectations are of us, we would be on a very good foundation for establishing meaningful, lasting relationships with another.
That is absolutely true. You know, I was thinking about the responsibility that we have as parents, which is to raise the children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But how many of our parents did not know that that was their responsibility? Excuse me.
Right.
Because maybe they were not raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so we have this cycle where some of us missed out on that relationship until we were 20s, 30s, 40s,
before we even knew there was a God, before we even knew there was someone who loved us and created us and provides for us. And so we've spent all of this time in our way of thinking, if you will, and doing things to the best of our natural ability. And then it becomes really difficult to move over and let a God drive, you know, a God that you never knew, a God that nobody taught you about,
right?
A God that was not discussed in your home. Or maybe you were in the church, but some of the things that you saw in the church didn't allow you to fully believe in the God that we serve. Maybe some of the things that we saw were not him. And so our relationships, all of the ones that we form, are hindered or helped by whether or not we understand that there is a God that created us.
Exactly. I chuckled because I thought about what my husband said when he first got saved and the Lord called, because we were saved and called into the ministry within the same trimester.
So, oh, wow.
And he used to battle back and forth with God, and he was in business. And, you know, business people are so strong-willed. And he said, okay, God, you know, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. So what I'll do, I'll scoot over on the chair and you can sit beside me. He did not want to surrender his all and all for relationship with a God that he knew had sovereignly called him to yes. go into the ministry, to start a church for him. And so
yes,
he often would tell that, you know, he wanted to share the throne with God. He did not want God just to take over, to rule, to lead God and direct his total life. And so therefore, one of the most difficult things for him to do was to sever the relationship that he had with himself
yes.
as the provider, as the giver of all, as the great businessman. He did not want God to cause him to relinquish everything that he had worked so hard for. And finally, He called it his bedroom experience. He went into the bedroom and he took his Bible and he held it up almost like a dare to God. And he said to God, okay, I will get rid of my business. I will close it. I will do what you tell me to do. I will do it how you tell me to do it. But this Bible, I'm going to preach it wherever I go. And if your word is true, I'm going to tell the world. And if it's not true, I'm going to tell the world. Can you imagine? And that's what he did. And he said he had such a peace that yeah. came over him. Yeah. And he said he could almost feel God smiling because he had relinquished his right to choose another option. And right. he had chosen to establish a meaningful, righteous, holy, obedient relationship with the maker of his life, God in heaven.
Yeah. Amen. And I could just see that as happening, and God smiling. He's like, I know my word is true. You'll find out. I don't have a problem with that. You know, this is not a threat to me. You'll be the one learning that my word is true.
Right.
But isn't that amazing? And I believe that the experience of our founding Episcopal pastor is the same experience with all of us. Because once we have lived our life and we think we have done well and we have planned things the way we plan things because of what we think and what we see, and then we learn of a God who wants us to follow so that he can lead, you know, and there's a desire to want to negotiate some things. Well, just where we're going, and is that even where I want to go, and where are you leading me to? Here's the plan that I have, you know, and what's your plan? So I fully get that. I fully get that.
Yeah. So every time I think about relationships, I have to think back to my husband having the nerve to threaten God with his own word. But, you know, time has proven that yeah. God's word was true, is true.
Yeah.
And as I often like to say, one of the problems that we have as believers is the fact that we live in an ever-changing world, but we serve a never-changing God. And so it's evidenced in the world today with all of the relationships that are really contrary to the word and the will of God. But the world is accepting all kinds of relationships as valid, as true, as okay. And we don't condemn the choices that people make, but we do not change to agree with the choices that they make if they are contrary to the word of God. So relationships, meaningful, long-lasting relationships, must be based on God, his word, the truth of his word, because God will not change to satisfy our fleshly desires, our wants, or whatever. He is a never-changing God.
You're absolutely correct. God is not going to alter who he is, what his word says, because we have a different thought. And oftentimes you hear people say, well, that was back then. These are the new times now, as though God has no knowledge of what new times would be. And we know that our God is all powerful, that he's all knowing, but yet we think that God doesn't know what's happening today, that somehow his hand is shortened in that regard. He has no idea how far mankind has come. However, his word is time tested.
Yes.
It's time tested, and it has lasted through all generations and held up to be true. And so it's humankind, it's us who feel like the word may be outdated, and we're just uninformed, really.
Right. God, we love alternatives and we choose alternatives, but God is not a God of alternative relationships. He's a God of true, everlasting, long-lasting, holy, righteous, never-changing, his word, relationships. And that's just the way it is. And so if there are only a handful of people who will listen, who will agree to accept his word as it is, so be it. We'll just minister to the handful of people.
Yes.
But I know God's word. I know the power of it. I know the strength of it. Yes. And I firmly believe that the more we teach the uncompromised word of God, the more we will effect change in the lives of others. The thing is that we, as teachers of the word of God, we must be what we want others to become. We must be a standard of righteousness. We must be a flag that people can see. We must be credible witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must show the world that our God is God. We must show the world that Jesus is Lord. We must determine, no matter how difficult it is, to maintain a righteous standard and to glorify God in everything we say, do, and think. Because what we think, we're going to eventually say. And what we say, we're going to eventually do. And so if we want to have a meaningful relationship with God, dedicate yourself to him and to his word. And try to learn as much about God and what his plan and purpose for your life is. And you'll establish a strong relationship with him. And then you won't have all of the influence and the pulls of the world. We're not supposed to be pulled by the world. We're supposed to pull the world over to us. And so it's important that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's important that we be unchanging in what we believe and how we believe.
You are absolutely correct. And before I start coughing, that is going to end our session for right now. We will be back for our second part of relationships, but we want you to know that the first relationship begins with the God that created you, understanding that he has a purpose and a plan for your life, that his love for you is not, it's not changing. It's unconditional. That no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter what we thought, whether we want him to drive or not, he still loves us. And to know that he's there and that his arms are outstretched still, just waiting for us to acknowledge that he is God, that he has a beautiful plan. And it's better than anything that we could have come up for ourselves. It's better than anything that we could have imagined, or any plan that we have will fail in comparison to his. Yes. So giving up the driver's seat, I rather like being a passenger, you know, and in my married life, my husband drove all the time. Matter of fact, he just looked uncomfortable in the passenger seat. And it wasn't because I was a bad driver either. But being a passenger can be quite nice. You just sit there and you take the ride and see where God is going to lead you. So we want you to know that that relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, is the most important relationship that you will ever have. And from that relationship, all other relationships can develop correctly. Amen. We're going to talk about in our next session, the woman at the well and all the relationships that she had before she met Jesus. And that will kind of tell us how all of our decision making is when we're driving the car and we're not letting the Lord drive, because it can lead to nowhere. Yeah. But we said it in our very first podcast that our sole goal was to bring souls to Christ Jesus and to deepen and establish the relationship with him. And so we're staying in line with that, because that's our one and only goal, that we might know Jesus, that we might have a close and personal relationship with him. Because once we establish that, all other things can and will get better.
Yes.
Amen.
That's so true.
All right. So we're going to come back for our next session. But in the meantime, have a fantastic day. Thank you so much for being with us. We are honored that you chose to listen to this podcast, that you will allow us to speak into your lives for a few moments in a day. And God bless you. We love you. And we'll be back.
And I want to encourage you to listen to the podcast more than once. We are giving you so much information, and a lot of it you don't believe, really. So listen back to it. Hear our hearts and decide for yourself that you need to change.
Amen. Amen. Love you. Bye.
Hello, everybody. We're just about 8 weeks away from July 25th to the 27th and the women's retreat. We're asking that everyone register at teachablewoman.com, and we've made it simple for you. You can pay in two easy payments. The hotel cutoff date is July the 11th. So register now and don't wait. We want to count you in, and we want to prepare properly for you. Some of you are still seeking a roommate, and we'll try to accommodate you if you just send an email. Your registration covers a lot of things. 4 delicious meals, all your conference materials, women's health sessions, exercise classes, financial wellness sessions, breakout sessions for single, married, and widowed women, and so many other things. So don't delay. Register now, and we'll see you there.